The rooster is in the west, Now we're going to check right over to the dog. So the dog sits right next to the rooster, and the dog's home is in the northwest. So if you get the compass, it's moving towards the north and more towards the north. That shares the northwest with the dog is the pig. And then on the north is the rat, okay, or the mouse. And so this is the chick of the animals, the 12 animals. You are one of these 12 animals. You can look it up online, and you got to get that personalization because you want your element, too. You're one of the five elements, personally. And it really does help when you're learning feng shui and you can learn the elements along with it because these five elements are either enhancers or balancers or cures. Do you see the three directions that these five elements can address so they can balance them? And a lot of our feng shui consultation clients love to just put the five elements together in their favorite locations in a way of an altar. And I love that practice too. So it doesn't have to be exact. It can be real fun and personalized. And you use one of these five elements, and they can either be used in their real form or their color. Remember, just even a color represents them that easily. And by the way, we would want to burn the anger in the West. So we would not only put that red apple over there in the West, or an image of it, or a real one. What's the key there is the red part. And that's because the red represents fire. We want to burn the anger away, right? And so we could even put a candle there. And this, and that is called curing that three star, because the three star in feng shui language requires a cure. And that's okay. We don't want to be afraid of the anger star, even though some people want to label it bad. It's not. It's something to be aware of and to work with and to master through. Doesn't that sound fun? And at least realize, and it's intention. Feng Shui is very, very directed through intention. And learning the five elements is so grounding. Really get grounded using these five elements in the form of plants, in the form of fountains, of water, bringing in prosperity and bringing in wealth and health. Seem to be really on the top of a lot of our clients' lists. And congratulations on the hookup list, because love is on the top of everyone's mind, and it has been going well out there in Loveland. And so if you'd like a feng shui consultation to bring more love and wealth and health into your world using your animal and the flying stars, and this is called Practicing Feng Shui, 1111@gmail.com, and I will set up a time with you. And we will also look up your Western astrology profile, and it's called a spiritual profile when we put that together. So we can see a lot of the planets and kind of how you tick from both sides of the world. It's pretty fun to put those together and to really study and practice yourself and understand yourself and enhance yourself and balance yourself and cure yourself with feng shui. And it's time for our feng shui fit tip today. We're going to talk about change and transformation in your body through fitness. I mean physical fitness. And this is fun to watch. And I invite you to invite it in and expect change and transformation. And along with that, we're going to gain courage and strength in our integrity while we build our physical fitness. This happens. This is true and real. And it is building from the inside core out through physical fitness. It will do it. I promise you, your mental abilities and emotional abilities will be challenged. And it's fun. Do you hear me laughing? So, yes, it is fun. Have fun with your change and transformation and expect it. And that's your Feng Shui Fit tip for today. And let's have some more transformation and change with Pathfinder.
Mahalo, mieru chunku woksape. My name is Pathfinder. I want to say hello to our listeners around the world and say thank you to our listeners in the USA and in Canada and in Japan and in Ireland and in Iceland and Peru and Norway and Sweden, Great Britain and in Germany and in France and Spain and in Portugal. We picked up Portugal. Thank you. France, if I didn't mention it already, the Netherlands, Italy, Austria, Hungary, Estonia, Ghana, South Africa, Pakistan, India, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia this week. Hello, Malaysia. And Syria. Yeah, about a month ago, we picked up a listener or so in Syria. God bless them over there. So I want to say hello to everyone and extend a heartfelt handshake to our listeners all around the world. This week on Aloha Healers Network, we're talking about resurrection, resurrection of the heart. And so we started a series a couple weeks ago with because it was the Phoenix Days. That's like November 8, 9, 10, 11, right in there. Those are traditionally the Phoenix Days, and they have to do with the rekindling of the fires of life that occurs in the fall when the Pleiades begin to be overhead at midnight. It's a very specific doorway. Amongst the astrology patterns of the year, we're working in cycles and circles, and this is one of the cycles that we go through each year. So the first step we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that's the translation of the body. And this was spoken of in the Bible and other sacred texts as the taking up of the body of light. And in other words, to become light-filled to the point where every atom and molecule inside us is actually vibrating and holding a higher frequency. And this is what's also happening with our Mother Earth, because her base frequency that used to always be about 7.8 hertz has moved up to the 13 to 15 range, sometimes spiking way, way the heck up there. And so she too is absorbing more potency, latent potency. And so this is the first step in a four-step process of the ascension school. And again, the purpose of ascension nowadays is not to go up in the heavens and play a harp, but to actually bring all of our faculties and talents and tools here and to manifest that beauty and that strength that's been given to us by Creator, that is the purpose. Now, today we're working with the resurrection, where it was the translation of the body, the physical body, into the body of light. It is the resurrection of the heart, just like the next step is the transfiguration of the mind. So you see that resurrection specifically has to do with our heart. Now, classically, when we thought of the heart, we were talking about the soul of us. We're talking more than just, the physical beating heart. We were also talking about the heart intelligence, and we were talking about the heart as the center of the soul working throughout our being. And some people it's soul, some people it's spirit, but it the essence of us. The center of the essence of us. Then a little bit later on is when they started, when scientific and armchair sociologist types started to decide that the brain was the center of everything. And really, it's the combination of the brain, the heart, and the whole body. And the reason why we're talking about this is the heart is the center of more than just the blood circulation. They have found brain cells of a type in the heart. I think they're more compact. They didn't really recognize them as being literally brain cells. But because they're brain cells, they're connected to their own sympathetic nervous system. In other words, there is a specific nervous system that connects into the heart that's part of our greater nervous system that also works with other organs in our body, including the brain. So in talking about the heart, it's twofold. We have the four-chambered heart, and then just above our four-chambered heart is the heart of heart, which is the thymus. And these work together very, very closely. And then we're also talking about the soul of you, the soul of me, the essence, okay? And in terms of this, it's in order to help our physical heart be the home for our soul and essence, or the center of our soul and essence working throughout our body through our physical four-chambered heart and our thymus. The thymus is a very powerful gland. Or organelle that, you know, they're just starting to discover what it does. But mystically, we've known that this is the cell, molecular, and DNA control center for the body. Now, it sounds a little, it says, listen to that one, okay? It's like the thymus is the control center for cell, molecule, DNA, and RNA. Why? Because it holds the imprint of the Creator. The Creator has put His heart imprint personally right there in our heart of hearts. And it has been taught that every 7 years, every single cell in our body is renewed. We have a new every cell in our body is renewed every 7 years, and it's done in a staging process so that one day you don't just disappear and reappear, even though perhaps that can happen with some. It's a gradual process on a 7-year cycle. And this very much has to do with resurrection, because literally you are renewed every 7 years. And when we begin to think in this way, that the Creator's impression is in our heart of heart and is constantly communicating that perfect inscription of us to the nucleuses of all of our cells, and that these cells are in a 7-year cycle of renewal, then we know that we are more than dust. we're clay, and we're water, and we're fire, and we're lightning, and we're breath. In fact, when we talk about the elementals, this very much has to do with the process of resurrection. There are places within each of our bodies where this white fire and clear white fire of resurrection, as they sleep in us, and they too are on a cycle of emergence. A couple of the main areas in our body that keep this resurrection strength is our bones. So our bones, especially our spine, you know, the whole cerebrospinal system, that the bones are home for this resurrection fire. In fact, they say when the Holy Ghost of renewal comes in. It fills our bones with that spirit. And then they have a bunch of songs about it, and they get down, don't they? This is in the Christian tradition of the resurrection that I'm speaking right now. Another area for this resurrection force, our liver is huge. In fact, the liver has this power to regenerate itself, and this is actually the resurrection power. And then some other areas that hold the resurrection force are the Tantians, including basically the belly button, which is our umbilicus to the Divine Mother. It says our heart of heart, which is our thymus, and our hypothalamus, which is in the center of the brain, in relation to the pituitary and the pineal. That this is another area, it's the seat of authority within the center of our mind where we make our choices. This is the place where, one of the places where God said, okay, you want to learn free will, then choose to hold your principles within your mind, within your heart, and within your body, and then you will either be filled with light or not. So like I said before, there were entire mystery schools dedicated to this ascension process. The resurrection school has to do generally with, you have to give yourself up in service in order to be born again. And so when they talk about being born again, they're talking very much about this resurrection of the heart. And you have the water cleaning the body, right? The water cleaning the body. And then you have the fire coming to indwell. And that fire is sacredness. And the sacredness itself is the upliftment to life. The sacredness itself lifts the clay and mixes it with the breath and brings forth life. So in the resurrection of the heart, we have to delve into our emotions, and we have to deal into our core beliefs, and we have to delve into our feeling body. We have to greet our inner child, and we have to also greet our inner adult and become conscious of the inner doctor that's also inside us, because having a wounded heart, an emotionally wounded heart, is a block to life. And that's why we have to do our homework day to day and week to week and month to month and definitely every year in order to keep cleaning the emotions. And this is one of the reasons why the paths of forgiveness and the gifts of the 12 steps, for instance, are so important. Because we have to unburden. We can't just take on and take on and take on pain or suffering or, you know, whatever it is. We also have to unload it. And this is one of the reasons why the purification ceremonies, including the Anipi, the purification lodge, as well as the crying for the dream, the Hamblecha, and other purification ways have been present across the planet to help us to unburden. And then there are also the emotional tools, and there are also the mental and the psychological tools to help us to be unburdened. But we can also ask Creator, we can ask the Spirit of Holiness, we can ask our Divine Mother, we can ask our own grandmothers and grandfathers to help to unburden our heart, to help us to understand what that difficulty is, what caused that difficulty, why did I respond to that difficulty, why did it hurt, or why did it perplex me, or why did it make me angry, or why did it affect me in the way that it did, and then release that to God and the universe and be whole. We've got to release the burdens of our heart to learning the lesson and understanding and wisdom, and then we have to turn it over and give it back to God in the universe, because our job is to live in the family of God. Now, in the process of, so we've kind of been describing some of the mechanisms of the resurrection of the heart. Like I said a few weeks ago, if there are individuals that want to take, you know, they want to get together with me with this as a class or a workshop or a little seminar series or even a, you know, a training and then an initiation in these ways and the more classic ways, you're welcome to get a hold of me at pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And we'll see what the interest is. It could be private or it could be, you know, it could be a small group. Because literally, there's so much more with each of these steps that I'm just showing you maybe a foot beneath the surface at most. Okay, so part of the process of resurrection is to be filled with the white fire of regeneration that reclaims the sensitivity of the soul and the innocence of our heart. And so this is what the unburden your heart is about, is to regenerate the innocence of our heart, because it is from this innocence and this innocence alone that the doorway of the Christ, that the doorway of the great phoenix of resurrection comes to us and allows us to be uplifted. In the mind and heart of the child, we are reborn. And the mind and the heart of the child is the swinging door, for the master's mind and the child's mind are one.
Mahalo, Pathfinder. And thanks to all of you for your continued support on Aloha Healers Network show. We so enjoy our time with you each week. And special big hugs and thank you to effervescent, beautiful Mama-san for support of Feng Shui Communications. It is so, so loved. And we love you all. Let's close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Ina ajo he wane anging telo. Ina ajo he wane anging te. Nitong kashila he wane anging telo. Ina ajo he wane anging telo. Ina ajo he wane anging te. Nitong kashila he wane anging telo. Ina ajo he wane anging telo.